If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Are you dancing?
I am. I'm smiling.
Nice.
I'm dancing. Yeah. I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, this is definitely cool.
We're back in the saddle.
Yeah.
You like how I chose that one?
I do.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has been. So, hi.
Hi.
How are you? Well,
personally, I'm doing great.
I'm good.
How are you?
Too. I'm really good. It's Leslie Harris.
And Kent.
And we're here on WGN. It is our first night here.
Yes.
Although it's not our first night in Chicago. We've both been in Chicago radio for a long time.
Probably 35 years for me.
Really?
Yeah.
That long? I didn't think you were that
old.
In
all kinds of different areas.
It's only been about 10 years for me. Yeah. No, it hasn't.
Don't lie.
We actually met when we worked at The Blaze. You guys remember the hair metal station, The Blaze, back in the early 90s.
103.5 The Blaze.
Yeah, Kent and I have been friends.
The best of rock.
That's right. The best of rock. 103.5 The Blaze. But no, it's
Can we play some Slada?
Okay, let's talk about where we are right now, which is AM 720 WGN.
GN.
Yes. So Steven Tyler, we were just playing some Aerosmith, and I'm a big Aerosmith fan.
Oh, here we go. We're going to start with this already?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Went to see Steven Tyler last Saturday night at the Chicago Theater.
Nice.
Yeah.
You usually travel across the entire country to see this guy.
I do not.
Sometimes continents.
No, I've never done that. I wish.
Yeah.
Now, the first time I met Steven Tyler was when I worked at Rock 103.5, one of the other radio stations that I worked at.
I was there with you, too.
Yes, you were. I think I got you a job there. Anyway,
is that how that worked?
Yes, it is.
I just remember the call. I was ecstatic.
Anyway, so Steven Tyler was at the Chicago Theater last Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And I do have a lot of crazy Aerosmith friends, and many of them do travel across the country. I've never actually done that.
Mm.
I did drive to Grand Rapids, Michigan last summer, but that's as far as I've traveled. There are women who fly in from all over the country. I have friends who fly in from Tampa.
Yeah.
I have friends who fly in from upstate New York. There's a guy who
this
flies
all
from,
for Steven Tyler?
For Aerosmith, yeah.
Well,
there's
I like
a guy
Aerosmith, but I'm, you know.
Well, this is the first time Steven Tyler's done a solo show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there is a guy who flies in from Japan to
see
Aerosmith.
Did he do any country during the show?
He did a little bit of country. Yeah. I'm not as much of a fan of his country music as I am of
his
other stuff.
A little trouble with that. You know, he hasn't, you know, lately has not been involved in the country scene that much, although he was in Nashville a couple weeks ago.
Well, I thought his album was number one on the country chart when it debuted. I think so.
You know, the people in the country world haven't been talking about it all that much.
Well, anyway, he did his solo show, and he did mostly do Aerosmith stuff. He did some Janis Joplin.
Oh, nice.
If you think about how Steven Tyler dresses, he has mentioned that Janis Joplin is his inspiration.
Definitely makes sense.
Yeah, so he did Mercedes-Benz, and he also did Peace of My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a little bit of his own stuff. But it was, anyway, so where I was going with this was the Chicago Theater, you know, it's a finite venue. It's there's only one way to get in it. There's only a few ways to get in and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other crazy Aerosmith people and I were waiting by the back door.
Okay.
When Steven Tyler came out. He gave the woman next to me a hug and a kiss.
And did you get yours?
I did not.
Damn.
But I did get his attention, and I did get a high five from him.
Well, that's a good start.
So, yeah. I did get my picture taken with him when we met him at Rock 103.5 many, many years ago. A lot of concerts happening in and around the Chicago area. Pearl Jam is actually coming, and I'm going to see Pearl Jam, too.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie's in town?
Yeah, Eddie threw out the first pitch at the Cubs game on Thursday.
Very cool.
Then apparently headed up to the broadcast booth. And Pearl Jam doing two sold-out shows. They're going to be doing two sold-out shows at Wrigley Field on Saturday night, and then they're taking a break on Sunday, and then I'm going to the show on Monday night.
Oh, so you're busy.
I am busy.
I won't be able to bother you on Monday night, I guess.
You could try. But fortunately, I lucked out with the Pearl Jam thing because I've got some friends who live in Wrigleyville.
Yeah.
And if you live in Wrigleyville, you get first dibs on those concert tickets at Wrigley Field.
What?
Yeah. Well,
I did not know that.
It's because people who, you know, people who live there, they want to keep friends with the people who live in Wrigley.
Yeah.
And so they give the Wrigley View neighbors first crack at those tickets.
It makes some sense. I went through there once when, you know, the baseball team, the Cubs, were playing. You couldn't pass through that neighborhood at all. It was just traffic from one end to the other, just stop and go. It's crazy. So I can understand trying to make the neighbors happy. All the people, all the noise.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the other great thing about having a friend who lives in the Wrigleyville neighborhood is that they get parking for their friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a true friend.
Yeah. Well, when we went to see Paul McCartney at Wrigley a few years ago, parking, I think it was like $60 to $80 to park in some of the lots near Wrigley. Of course, Wrigley doesn't have parking. I think our parking is costing 55 cents.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of stuff happening. You want to say a little bit more about yourself?
There's not too much to tell. I love radio. I've been around it, built stations in this city, different concepts, been on the air, which is what I'm doing now.
And you're from the Midwest.
Yeah, I actually grew up not far from Minneapolis.
Okay, and I grew up in Des Plaines.
Yeah.
The city of destiny.
I'm a transport. I came here in college and I, you know, just never left.
Yeah, well, I've lived here for all intents and purposes, I've lived here my whole life. Mm-hmm. My husband and I did spend some time in the UK, but we never, like, moved there lock, stock, and barrel. We always had our place back here, always came back here.
Nothing quite like terra firma.
Right, right, yeah. So I've been listening to WGN my entire life.
One of the reasons why, you know, we're excited to be here.
Yeah.
Because this has been like a heartthrob for us.
It really has.
Kind of a vision quest, if you will.
Yeah. I used to ride with my dad. My dad always listened to WGN when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Used to listen to the stock market reports, used to listen to the Cubs, of course. And so it's really cool that we're here. You know, we're here until 5 o'clock this morning, and we'd love for you to join in the conversation.
What is that number? 312-981-7200?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we've got some interesting stuff coming up. We're going to be talking to some musicians. We've got that coming up later on this hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be talking about a cool art festival that's happening out in Aurora.
Nice.
Yeah. What else?
We've got some stuff about the Chicago River we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are rats involved.
There used to be rats involved. There could be muskrats. What's the difference between a muskrat and a rat?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me.
You know, growing up in the country, I know these things.
Yeah, see, I don't know this. I grew up in Des Plaines. Did I mention
that? A true
that?
Rat is, you know, not very desirable. A muskrat is more desirable because the fur is used to make cool things.
So maybe we should start that segment by playing Muskrat Love.
Yeah.
We could sing Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam.
Yeah, they're nice little creatures. You know, the rats, not so much.
I don't know. I have some nice stories about rats. I also have a kid who went to college this week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about that. I was listening to Bill Leff a lot this week, and I know Bill's daughter, one of his kids, went to New York this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was washing my kitchen floor, on my hands and knees, washing the kitchen floor, and I was literally crying.
That's quite a vision, actually.
I was literally crying listening to Bill talk about his daughter leaving for New York and thinking about my own daughter leaving. And my daughter doesn't go that far away. She goes to school at Illinois State University.
Yeah.
It's less than 2 hours away from where we live. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on as well.
And I just had my oldest move out of the house. I don't know if anyone's had that experience, but it, you know, conjured up emotions that I, you know, didn't think I would have.
Yeah. And how old is he?
25.
25. Okay. Yeah. So it's time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, all the free cable and free car insurance and, you know, stuff like that probably kept him near the house a lot longer than expected. But, you know, we wanted to see that he get through college, and mainly we've done that.
Yeah. So did he go to school locally?
Yeah, he started out at CLC, and then he transferred to Eastern, and he's going to finish up in, one semester. He's got one semester left.
Okay. All right. Yep. All that and more. It's... Mm-hmm. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to, like I said, we've got Kurt Michaels and Elaine Quinn coming up next. Mm-hmm. It's AM 720 WGN. Yeah. AM 720 WGN. It's Leslie and Kent. And we've got guests. We've got our first guests. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So we have Elaine Quinn and Kurt Michaels of the Kurt Michaels Continuum featuring Elaine Quinn. And hi, how are you guys?
Hello.
Howdy.
I can barely hear her.
You can't hear Elaine?
Barely.
Oh, okay. We need Elaine's microphone, I think, turned up a little bit. Or you need to talk maybe directly into it.
Hello.
There we go.
Okay, there
I
we
got
go.
You.
All right, excellent. Okay, so Kurt Michaels Continuum featuring Elaine Quinn. Why don't you guys tell me, I mean, you sent me the bullet points, but why don't you tell me about how the band started and all that kind of stuff, how you guys met. Tell me more about the whole thing.
Yeah. That's a good story.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a yeah. good story, actually. I was at an event, and I ended up talking to Kurt, and then I went to see him a couple of times because I'm, you know, a singer-songwriter, and I thought he was a good writer. So anyway, one of those events, he drove me home, and right when he was getting out of the car...
Smile. Right, Kurt's taking pictures while Alana's talking.
There we go.
That's not too awkward.
Where's the selfie
oh
stick?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, let me get my camera out. Everybody smile. Okay. All right. Okay, go ahead.
So,
I'm sorry.
Right, well, that's okay. Right away, when he was dropping me off, he gets this text, and it was from the singer that was with his band at the time. And he goes, oh, my gosh, she got a promotion, and she's moving. And so
a promotion? Wait a minute. How could you get promoted from Kurt Michaels
band?
Continuum?
Well, she worked for Virgin Airlines, and she had an opportunity to go work in the corporate.
And that's better than working with you?
Well, it depends on the day.
It
couldn't
better.
Possibly be better than today.
Yeah. Well, maybe some better flight benefits.
There
oh, yeah,
you go.
She,
yeah,
she flies.
Yeah.
She definitely flies.
Yeah, my mom worked for TWA when I was a kid, and oh, man, those travel benefits are sweet.
Did you get to go anywhere?
Oh, we went everywhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we went... We went to Puerto Rico. We went to Jamaica.
Oh,
we went,
wow.
For my eighth grade graduation, I got to go to Italy.
Nice.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, you were talking. I'm
well,
sorry.
Well, I was just finishing this story that he said, wow, well, she can't be in the band anymore. Do you want to be in a band? I was like, oh, okay. So it was a very smooth kind of a thing.
Nice.
Because I really hadn't been performing out. I was mostly a studio writer, and I have a lot of my own material, and I was very behind the scenes, and so this was kind of my, you know, coming out into the live world thing.
There's a little more to it than that, because we met at that event, and, you know, you meet people all the time
mm-hmm.
at these events, and
yes.
she says, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm thinking in my head, yeah, right, you know, but... You know, she sent me one of her tunes, Strange Fascination, and it's like everything that I like, you know, that in music
mm-hmm.
was in that song. You know, very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
It had you know, a nice hook, you know, nice chorus, and it had, you know, it changed the tonality. It was really, really clever, and I'm thinking, wow, this is great. So actually, kind of informally, you know. We got together a few times and we're running tunes. And so, you know, when I got that email while I was driving, which, of course, I wasn't supposed to be looking at my email while I was driving. But I did. And, yeah, it took me, you know, about a second and a half to process this. And I just turned to her and said, well, like she said, you know, feel like playing with us?
Talking about being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
and what year was that?
That
Two
would be,
years ago.
No, more than that.
Well,
it's
according
like,
to your cheat sheet, it says 2012. Did you want to look at your cheat
well,
sheet?
Well, no. Well, the band started in 2012.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
But it was, I would say, We started working out informally the beginning of 2014, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the first show that we had her on, Denny Lane, the guy from...
I was like, oh my God, what did I sign up for?
Wow.
And then he asked us to come on stage with him, and I was like, what is
There's a story here. Okay, so it's like another friend of mine gave me the heads up that Denny Lane was coming to Reggie's. And so, wow, okay. We had been working Reggie's. I had a friend over there doing the booking, Ellie Quintana. Mm-hmm. Ellie, we love you. You're the best.
Reggie's is a great place. I've been there several times.
Ah.
It's cool.
Oh, yeah. So I basically talked us into getting an opening slot for this thing, and I volunteered. He was coming in as a solo songwriter, storyteller.
Yeah.
He was just coming in by himself.
And for people who are listening, just so we know who Denny Lane is.
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was originally with the Moody Blues. He had a hit with them with the song Go Now.
Mm-hmm.
But most people know him as Paul McCartney's creative foil in Wings.
Right.
So all those big hits that McCartney had with Wings, Denny was a part of that. And, I mean, his voice is gorgeous.
Yeah.
With that, but like Band on the Run was a big one, Live and Let Die, mm-hmm. All that stuff. That's Denny Lane involved with that. And so, I always wanted to, work with Paul McCartney someday.
Yeah.
And
sure. Who wouldn't?
You know,
I do too.
But that's not likely to happen, but working with Denny Lane
was. How do you know?
Yeah. There's still time.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, so Denny Lane.
So yeah, I basically didn't get to talk to Denny, but we got a message to him that we'd be willing, to do like the encore, do something. We figured, after doing that singer-songwriter solo stuff, he'd probably appreciate playing with a band.
Yeah.
So did some research, found out what he did for his encore. Typically, we worked up Band on the Run and Go Now. Mm-hmm. Those are the two biggest things. And never heard from him. Okay, so we rehearsed this stuff. We had it ready, but we didn't know that we were actually going to get, whether or not we'd get a chance to play with him. And so we're in the sound check that day. We're, and we're actually running the tune, I believe Band on the Run, when he walked in the door. So he comes up to the stage and says, well, I guess you guys don't need me. And I think we rehearsed with him for about 7 minutes, and so it was like, yeah, we're doing this. Yeah,
right.
We're happy, just like, through the roof, happy with this thing. And so we get back there, we do our set, we're all sitting down in the audience ready to check out the show, and, he's doing his singer-songwriter thing, and he's telling stories. He's a very funny guy, very funny. Not Joe Pesci kind of funny, but but he is very funny. And probably about 20 minutes into it or so, I think he just decided he felt like having some company up there, and he like invites us up.
Oh.
And we had like no clue what he was going to do, and so we wound up playing the whole set with him unrehearsed, and we got through it, and finally the big encore. So we got a lot more than we bargained for, and then we kept the communication going, and we just worked with him again in May.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to hear some music from Kurt and Alan coming up. It's AM 720 WGN. I saw Dave Matthews this summer, too.
You did?
I did, up at Alpine Valley.
You've been busy with the concerts.
Yeah, not busy enough. I would go to concerts every weekend if I could. And that's why I brought musicians with me tonight.
Yeah.
It's Leslie and Kent, AM 720 WGN. We are in the studio with Kurt Michaels and Alan Quinn. And the name of the full band is Kurt Michaels Continuum with Alan Quinn.
That's a mouthful.
Right? Did I say it right? Did I get the whole thing?
You did.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm really excited because as you heard, these guys are not, your everyday sort of street musicians.
It's really cool.
Really
the stories
good.
They've got and the people they've been connected to. And at some point I may ask more about if there's any great seedy stories of the characters you've played with or been with or around,
Yeah.
Any
Oh, we have tons of stories.
Oh, tell a good one.
Yeah.
I don't think I can.
Alan, can you tell a good story?
Well, I'll just say one really interesting thing. Yeah. It was kind of funny because the person who brought us up here, I actually...
That's Joey. That's our good, our
yeah,
new BFF,
right.
Joey.
I know. Well, his dad is kind of a mentor for me, actually, in the music business. Yeah. He's, oh my gosh, super guy. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, that's
my
so funny.
My past is coming back. Yeah. But it's
love that.
Great. Yeah. What a small world, right?
I have this... love of coincidences.
Yes.
You know, it's like the universe coming together and, I don't know, giving you positive messages that...
That you're in the right spot.
Yeah,
you're going
the right
way.
I agree
with that.
Yeah, the universe does talk a little bit.
That's for sure.
Okay, let's hear some music.
Sure.
Happiness is a decision. You always had the key to get out of this prison. Happiness is a thing you deserve.
You deserve, yeah.
You only have to and summon up the love. You be lying to yourself. Believing in your only real world.
Hearts that dream, sights unseen, calling in warm like stars in a storm. You walk in and winds begin to tide and too slow and high. Does it go? The darkness of night, your tenderness so inviting. You're a mystery at play, there's a moon on its way, yeah. Well, I can feel the lightning in this strange fascination. There's a secret there that grows. Haze and intoxication. You don't tell me, but you know. Oh, you don't tell me, but you know. Say it, but you know.
Yeah.
Woo. Definitely cool.
It's Alan Quinn and Kurt Michaels. Kurt Michaels Continuum featuring Alan Quinn. And you guys have a show coming up that you want to talk about. Tell us about that.
Always. There's always something.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing Uncommon Ground on Devon on Friday, September 9. That's the place where they grow all their own produce.
Oh, nice.
On the organic farm located on the roof.
Wow. I've heard of Uncommon Ground. I did not know that about them.
Yeah.
And they're at 401 West Devon
Avenue. Nope. 1401.
Sorry. Yes. I forgot that one. I see that. It's 1401.
It's the dangling one.
It's 1401 West Devon Avenue.
The digits.
Yeah.
9 o'clock show.
9 o'clock show.
In the music room.
Okay. Anything else for you guys?
Hmm.
Yeah, I think we're doing something. I forget the date, though.
23rd. September 23rd.
September 23rd. Oh, sure.
We're already talking about September. Wow.
At the Underground Wonder Bar.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar.
Yeah.
Not far from here.
Okay.
You could, like, after you get off of work, just, you know, toddle on down.
5 in the morning.
So we've got September 9th at Uncommon Ground at 1401 West Devon, and then September 23rd. Say it again, where?
The Underground Wonder Bar.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Right. We get around.
All right. And you're going to play another song?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Okay. Well, now we have to figure out which one we're going to play.
It's our time.
It's really pretty cool. Yeah. We could, you know, maybe ask him for two or three more.
This is a Kurt tune. And by the way, on the first two, the first one was written by Kurt, and the second one was written by me. So,
nice. Nice yeah. that they...
The general rule of thumb with us, if I sang it, I wrote it. If she sang it, she wrote it.
Ah,
that,
okay.
That's so far, that's how it works.
Okay.
You know, John Lennon doesn't have to sing a Paul McCartney song. Okay. I really should tune. Is that okay?
Yeah. I like the, you know, it's all part of
cookie.
The aura.
Yeah, I brought
heart cookies.
I made cookies this evening.
These are like really good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like them. Yeah. I was really stressing out. I wanted to bring cookies to share with my, you know, everyone here on our first day at WGN. So I made gluten-free shortbread cookies.
And she's, you know, trying to be really nice, but anything with sugar will put me to sleep. So I there might be a plot here.
I did not know that. Sugar puts me to sleep.
Oh. Yeah. Boom, I'll be gone.
Much better. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. You came to me to share your life with me, our hopes we dare. I'll leave you all I can. We'll make our way towards a plan. So it goes. Yeah.
It's our time. It's our time. It's our time.
Very cool. It's Kurt Michaels' Continuum featuring Alan Quinn playing a show at Uncommon Ground on Devon, 1401 West Devon in Chicago. Starts at 9 o'clock. And what was the other show? Tell me, the 23rd?
Right.
At
Underground.
Wonder Bar.
Wonder Bar.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks
Thank
for coming
Thank you
in.
So much. Oh, thanks awesome. Very much.
Yeah.
Thank you for the cookies.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have another one.
Them all with you.
I didn't. No, don't take them all. What? I think Roger Badish came to get a cookie. I even made them heart-shaped.
Oh.
Coming up, we're going to hear more about a different kind of art festival happening out in the western suburbs. It's Leslie and Kent on AM 720 WGN.
We be rocking.
Nice.
Welcome.
Joey, our producer, is not telling us what songs he's chosen for us, and Kent and I are both rockers, so we're digging it. I'm digging the Led Zeppelin. It's Leslie and Kent.
Go a little harder for me, but I'm okay with that. It's a good start.
Well, let's not get carried away. It's Leslie and Kent on AM 720 WGN. And we're talking now to Jamie Taracco. Jamie, did I say your last name properly?
Yeah, you did. I'm here.
Okay, Jamie Taracco, and you're going to tell us about the Alley Art Festival. So, first of all, tell us, what is the Alley Art Festival?
It's a grassroots art and music festival in downtown Aurora. It happens the last Saturday of August. It features all local artists and music.
Okay, so it's going to be next weekend, and it's going to be all local artists. And tell me exactly where. So it's downtown Aurora.
Yes, it's on Water Street Mall. It has an exact address of 24 East Downer Place, Aurora. So it's like it's a brick walkway between some of the buildings. It's right off the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And does it cost, is there an entry fee?
No, it's a free event to attend.
So it's a cool free event. What makes the Alley Art Festival different than other art festivals?
I'd say, first of all, because it features all local artists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a juried art fair where there's only one thing to look at. It's more of a happening than a typical art or craft fair. So the artists are extremely varied in styles, and there's an entire downtown block filled with various performers and other hands-on ways to participate. So it's more than just going to look at art. There's like other activities, and there's music, and there's dancers and food and things like that.
You were going to say something?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I was just wondering what kind of music and, you know, what type of art, like, you know, maybe paintings or photographs.
Yeah.
I wrote down the bands that are playing. There's Jake Mack Trio, Rob Anderlich, and Max Benson.
And you said there's going to be dancing?
Yeah, they have, there's a belly dance troupe, Eastern
cool.
Fire Belly Dancers. So
oh, nice.
I'm in for that.
They're performing at 4 p.m. We have like a schedule for all the performers on the Facebook event page.
Okay. So you said that there's belly dancing. Is that the only dancing troupe, or are there other dancers?
I think they might be the other one. The only one, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. That's all right. So what's going to happen if there's bad weather?
Still happening, rain or shine, so we don't have an alternate location. We can still come out and we'll still be there.
Okay. Now, is the theater still right in that area?
Yes. There's still the Riverfront Playhouse. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, the Riverfront Playhouse. Yes. I actually went to the Alley Art Festival a few years ago. I brought the kids, and I would say the thing that I liked about it, I like going to art festivals. I liked the vibe of the Alley Art Festival. It's definitely got more of a, for lack of a better term, kind of a hippie vibe to it. Would you?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Because it's not just an art show. It's to celebrate all the culture and the creative people that are, like, you know, involved in the scene in Aurora. Some of the other things they have are, there's a Fermi Lab science booth and a balloon artist. And that's something that I was reading about today just in preparation for this. The Human Library of Fox Valley is going to be there. And what that is they just have a bunch of people there that were, I guess, they have different experiences sometimes from the margins of society, and you can check out a person as a quote-unquote book, and you can spend time talking with them about their experiences. So they're going to be there all day.
I've never heard of that, a human library. Huh. That's really cool.
Fascinating.
How many people, do you know how many people are going to be in the human library?
I'm not sure how many exact people that they have, but the description on their website seemed like they had a lot of diverse people involved. So I think that was going to be inside the Culture Stock bookstore.
Okay.
I may be wrong about that exact location, but they're going to be somewhere at some point. They're going to be there all day, so you can go talk to people at the library.
Okay, and what about parking?
There's street parking. There's a couple public parking lots that I think are free, and you can also take the Metro, and then it's within walking distance from the Aurora stop. So there's a lot of ways to get there, and I've never had trouble finding a spot there, even as a vendor. So I know there's some of them are parking meters, but there's spaces.
Okay, so there should be ample parking. And then is it accessible by Metra?
Yes. If you get off the Aurora stop, it's within walking distance to the downtown.
Perfect. Now, there's been more of these alley fests happening. There's some, I guess there's one in the city. Is this, it's called Activate. And is this something new that's happening? How long has the Aurora Alley Festival been going on?
The first one that I know about was in 2010.
So
I created as an artist in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But from there's a downtown Aurora website that tells you a little bit about it. And
okay.
It was founded by four people. I think they're just looking to have some kind of street fest featuring local artists. And I think they're grassroots idea rings pretty true. Like, everyone involved just wanted a day to celebrate the creative people that surrounded us.
So what type of art and handmade items are you going to find at the Alley Art Fest?
We have painters, we have jewelry makers of all different kinds. There's people with all shirts with their designs, stickers and buttons, prints, art toys, recycled items. I know this year someone, but there's a pottery person and a stained glass artist and a girl that does embroidery and fiber arts. And there's a lot of styles. So there's family-friendly art, and there's kind of dark, spooky art and quirky art and street art styles. And it's actually a really good mix. I know a lot of people that are signed up to this just from doing other art shows around, and they're all very talented, and they make a lot of really cool stuff.
Is this like an exposition where they, you know, you can come and acquire the art or just look at it?
Yeah. There's a fly flying around. Everyone that signs up gets a 10x10 booth, and they do a lot of live painting and demos, but they also sell the art. So there's a lot of neat stuff you can buy that's pretty affordable too. It's not super expensive. Some art fairs, they have a lot of expensive art and you just go to look at it. But this has a lot of different kind of stuff. If you like to buy handmade things, it's a good place to go.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little more accessible to common
common
folks.
Yeah, it's, why did they pick Aurora for this location, for this event? Is this something planned locally, or is it because of the access?
It was planned locally. The people who started or were from Aurora, and I think they just really wanted to see something like this in their town, so they went ahead and made it happen.
Cool. Cool. Now, I think that you said that there's a kids area as well?
Yes, they have a kids art tent where they have projects that the kids can do, and I think the balloon art guy is going to be out all day doing that kind of thing too. So, like, every year I see a ton of kids there, and none of them look bored. They're all having a good time. So.
What kind of stuff are they having the kids do?
I'm not sure exactly what it is this time, but I know they've made, like, paintings and little pinwheels and stuff out of recycled items.
And then if people want to get involved in the art festival in the future, I mean, it's too late to get involved in it for this year, but if an artist wanted to get involved in that, how would they go about doing that?
You could email Marissa. She's the main contact.
Marissa Amoni.
Yes, Marissa Amoni. Her email is M, just the letter M, at downtownauroran.com, or you can send a message to the Alley Art Fest Facebook page. They're pretty easy to find on Facebook if you do a search. And even if you're not an artist and you want to be involved, they're always accepting volunteers to help run information and run the craft booth for the kids and things like that.
Cool. Okay, so tell us again what the name of the Facebook page is.
It's, it's facebook.com/AlleyArtFest.
Alley.
And then there's also...
ArtFest, okay. And then, I'm sorry, you said there's also...
Oh, we have an event invite that's Alley Art Festival 2016. You can find that by searching. And then also auroradowntown.org. Has a lot of information and other links for the festival.
Great. Okay, and it's next weekend, the Alley Art Fest in Aurora. It's Jamie Taracco. Thanks for being with us here on AM 720. We'll be checking the news after this. Oh, it's 3 o'clock. And
it's our first time.
I'm a little unprepared. Roger, are you there?
I am here.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
You're so excited. Sounding wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to be working with you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. I am too. And you're sounding great.
Thank you.
You know, it never leaves, right? It never leaves you.
Yeah. Come and get a cookie when you get a chance. I have some gluten-free.
Gluten-free?
Gluten-free shortbread. I thought you were doing gluten. Okay.
That's what I said.
One of the reasons why I made it gluten-free, because you put up a recipe this week.
Oh, with the gluten-free pasta.
With the gluten-free pasta. Yeah.
Well,
right?
Because my wife does... She's about 75% gluten-free.
Mm, okay.
My daughter and her kids are 100% gluten-free.
And I'm gluten-free, too.
So I try to go along with that. Now, you know, Ken, if you want to come
like
in,
my,
I've got the good stuff in here.
I still like my wheat flour, you know, everything real.
I've got chocolate something in here. That
Chocolate?
Yes.
Leslie's going to lose me pretty soon. That's my, my weakness.
If you have real teeth, you won't after you eat this thing. So.
Right.
Nice.
Anyway, I was about to say, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It is 301, and here's Roger Badish.
AM 720 WGN, Leslie and Kent.
In for Matt Bubala. We forgot to say that.
Yeah.
People have been calling and saying, where's Matt? Is he dead?
Yeah, we have not tied him up in the back of the room.
No. Matt is actually going to be in later today for John Williams, and so we are in for Matt Bubala. Mm-hmm. Roger?
Yes?
Do you have any memories of the Chicago River?
Driving over the bridges.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I don't remember falling in.
Okay.
I would remember that, I think.
Yeah.
Picture this.
The smell from time to time.
Yeah.
They don't call it the sanitary canal.
Yeah. It's not green just for, you know.
Yeah, right.
I know.
St. Patty's Day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The river that gets dyed green as opposed to the color it is every other day of the year.
I couldn't understand that. Thank goodness those dyes are donated.
You know? Yeah. And thank goodness that they are supposedly environmentally safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
From what we understand.
Yeah.
Think of the fish.
Other than that, and being really interested in how the engineers reverse the flow of the
river. That is fascinating.
That is amazing. Yeah. And if you see some of the pictures from when they did it, actually where the river is now is not where it was.
What?
They did it next to it.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
I did not know
that. Yeah, they build that next to it. So there's some really old pictures that I've seen where they're constructing the new river, at least the new opening into the lake, and the regular river, the old one, is next to it. Mm. Very interesting.
Very cool. I see. Yeah. I knew you were the right guy to ask about this.
Yeah, the river's got a lot of history.
But as far as swimming or kayaking or canoeing in it or searching for some kind of Chicago Ness monster, nah, you can't. No, I can't help you.
Yeah, well, picture this. Picture yourself sunbathing.
Yeah.
On the Chicago River.
They're planning some really cool stuff.
Ooh. Now you've got your grandkids.
Yeah. Right.
Playing
right.
in the water.
No, come on. No.
And just as they're playing, a family of cuddling muskrats swim by.
And a body or two from someplace. Yeah.
And there won't be any muskrat love on that situation, you know, I'll tell you that.
A friend of mine actually went on Facebook and said, please do not play muskrat love.
Oh, really? I like that song.
Muskrat Susie, Muskrat Sam, doing the jitterbug.
Yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, that I've been following the story, and I like the river walk that they're doing, and
that's
you know, anything
really cool.
that we can fancy up the city a little bit and get rid of some of the images of, you know, you ask anyone who grew up in Chicago, born and raised in Chicago, they're like, yeah, Chicago River, ooh, no,
yeah, nasty.
If they can fix that, I knew Joey was gonna do it. Thank you, Joey. If they can fix that, that would be great. Wait, let's hear the little chirping sounds. Okay.
It's only a little after three. We're already giddy. I love it.
There we go. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Late night WGN.
You know, I used to do a song, I used to do a show, Love Songs on Fire.
Oh.
Love Songs on Fire.
Yeah.
On 103.5.
Listen to you.
Yeah.
And that was the big hit of the night. Huh?
Yeah, it was. It was, Roger. Sending this one out to you. Okay.
So are you ready to swim in the Chicago River?
No.
Oh, I don't think
not
so.
Even in a, not even in any steel bubble.
You know,
I've been on my boat several times up and down that river.
Oh, okay.
It's just, that works
not
out
your
well.
Your boat.
Yeah, my
Thanks.
Boat.
Thanks. I mean, I've been in a boat, not your boat. I've never been invited to be in your boat
on
the
river.
We'll
have to do something about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I love boating, and I've been through the locks and been up and down the river. It's there's a couple of pubs and bars along the way you can stop at.
Oh, really?
All kinds of cool stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
That's
fascinating scenery.
There.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of restaurants, of course, in the downtown area that never would have been there 30 years ago.
Yeah. And because... I always wondered why this wasn't a bigger attraction. You've got access to everything there is here, and you got the great scenery from the buildings and such.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of the renovations they're making, along the river now, it really makes a lot of sense maybe to go that next step. And they want to bring, families in so that they can enjoy
this?
They
wanted to do fishing?
Yeah, fishing.
Yeah. It says largemouth bass.
Are there largemouth bass in this river?
There's Asian carp.
He's got a hook in his mouth already.
Yeah.
You know, what is he?
I hear that Asian carp is actually really good. I have a friend who tried it, and she said it's really delicious.
These are the ones that jump at you when you're going down the river.
Yeah. If you make noise, they respond to the noise.
Yeah.
They're saying that maybe this is a way to help control them is by catching them and eating them. Yeah. Anyway, but there's been a 76-page full-color report that took 18 months to make.
Whoa.
And they're having a vision for the city's waterways. They're saying by 2014, as a result of decades of water quality improvements and habitat restoration, the rivers are going to be teeming with native plant and animal species, according to the report, and we'll be swimming with them.
Well, Chicago does have a reputation of having people swim with the fishes.
I'm not
so that
sure.
might be in keeping with, the image. So who knows? It might be a good thing.
Yeah.
But they're saying that they're going to unify all three of Chicago's rivers, the Chicago River, the Des Plaines River, and what's the third one? The Calumet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that they're going to have all those vacant lots that have been neglected along the waterways. They're going to clean all that stuff up. And they're expecting the native animals and the ones that migrate to come and habitat that.
Live there.
There you go. Snapping turtles, beavers, and otters. Now, I know that they were having a problem with beavers a few years ago because when the beavers came back to the river, they were damming it up.
Oh.
Which was
they will do that from time to time.
Those darn beavers.
Yeah.
I noticed I didn't. Thank you.
Yeah. But native communities, they're saying, are going to be abundant and healthy. Mm-hmm. Some species healthy enough to eat for the first time since the 1800s.
You know, I've had fishing licenses, and I occasionally have fished in Lake Michigan. But on the fishing license or in the booklet that you get,
mm-hmm.
they tell you can only eat so much of the fish that you catch, right?
That's frightening.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we got a long ways to go.
Yeah, and this is the river.
You mean they give you a warning that there are only certain kinds that you can eat?
Well, you can only eat so much because of, you know, some of the chemicals that are relevant in, or present in the fish.
Well, one of my favorite memories of the Chicago River is that my dad's best friend had a houseboat on the river. Mm. And I used to like to call it the He-Man Women Haters Club. Because my dad and his buddies would go there and play cards. This was after my dad was retired and all of his buddies were retired. And they'd go and they'd play cards and they'd drink beer. And the houseboat, that's a really loose term. Loose use of the word houseboat. You couldn't live there. It was pretty much a shack on a raft.
Oh, nice. And those are the best kind.
There were rats all around. In fact, Danny, who owned the houseboat, decided that the rats were his pets.
Oh, geez.
And he actually fed the rats and even named the rats.
And my daughter had rats for pets for a while. She went through this phase, but I'm glad they were gone.
But these are city rats living in the river.
Is that the original Rat Pack? Seriously.
But I just
name
remember.
Them Frank and Sammy and Dean.
No, this was Molly. Molly was Danny's favorite rat, and Molly had babies, and he named all the babies.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he used to feed them all, and then somebody came and started reducing the rat population, shall we say. Somebody actually came and shot the rat.
Oh, no.
Oh, Danny was beside himself.
Oh.
He was so upset that someone would come and shoot the rats.
That's a shame.
Yeah, man. I know.
Where's that person? I need some rats removed up by me.
Yeah.
And they're not even in the water.
Now, are we talking about the
creature?
The rodents?
The domestic ratotus or whatever the heck they are. The four-legged variety. We've got a condo in the next building, and I'm not talking about the building. It's a rat condo.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
We lived in an apartment in the city. I live out in the suburbs now where we don't have rats.
Yeah, it's just a fact of life downtown, isn't it?
Don't have rats in the suburbs, huh?
No. Well, we have pet rats.
You just haven't seen them. They're there somewhere.
No. So a young couple bought the building that I was living in, and the guy apparently crawled underneath the building, and it was just infested underneath there. And
nasty.
It was like, oh, ew.
Just the thought of that is my skin is curling right now.
Yeah, I saw him a few times taking out the garbage. I'd see one crawling around in the garbage. It was fun. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. Anyway, but no, we're saying, so would you go swimming in the river?
I wouldn't. Well,
I wonder how they're going to, you know, put the beach together. Where would you do that?
Well, it's just going to be the river walk. There's not going to be a... Well, you said that they're going to combine it with the other two rivers, and there may be some beach area there on some of the reclaimed land.
Yeah, because here it's all concrete, right?
There's
no place to do that.
Yeah.
And they'd have to, in some parts of the Chicago River, when it branches off, there are areas where there's no walkway by the river. It's mm-hmm. just the flat piering,
mm-hmm.
and they would have to build something along there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for boats to dock and then stairs to get up to, you know, wherever the bars or restaurants or whatever is along there.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of work to do, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking it might be farther north. I don't know. Anyway, if you'd like to join the conversation, let us know if you would swim in the Chicago River or maybe share some of your memories of the Chicago River. Call us 312-981-7200. We'll talk more about it coming up. It's AM 720 WGN. It's Leslie and Kent.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to Leslie and Kent.
More Aerosmith. More of the time.
Yeah.
It's AM 720 WGN. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number 312-981-7200. Talking about the big Chicago River cleanup.
Yeah.
Roger, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm now, in your little screen up there. Can you see
oh,
me?
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, there he is.
Can you see us?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's no cameras in there.
It's probably a good thing he can't see us.
No.
It's a good thing he can't see you. That's true. Anyway, yeah, come and get cookies when
yes.
you get a
chance.
Oh,
I forgot about the cookies. Yeah,
she's really trying, you know,
because I can't, I start to walk out and I see the chocolate and I can't get past that.
Oh, that's
well,
right.
Well, bring us chocolate yeah. when well, in you the come next break, and get
it. I'm going to go to the newsroom.
All right.
Now, so the Chicago River cleanup, a lot of people... Well, there were a few people, I don't know, a year or two back that were really upset about some of the cleanup that they've done. They actually cleared some of the forest land that was somewhere up farther up north. I don't remember exactly where it was, but a lot of people were very upset because they cleared that to make it all sort of sanitized and concrete walkways and things like that. So is there, you know, is there such a thing as cleaning it up too much? I mean...
Well, they got a long ways to go. You know, it's a process, and they have to start someplace.
Right.
And the plan is to take it to a point when it, you know, where they feel it would be safe and healthy to actually, you know, jump in this water and bring your entire family and, you know, enjoy the entire surroundings.
They also have to deal with a safety issue.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of the land clearing came from. Unfortunately, you don't want to offer too many hidden spots where there's no view,
point.
You know. And so if you have, even if you have lighting and you have the walkways, you still have to have it clear enough so that police, unless you have cameras on the lights... but, you know, for police to be able to see, and then you have to fence it off maybe. There's some parts, at least on the northern route, there's some parts where there is no piering. There's nothing built between the water and the land. It just kind of slopes up from the water.
Yeah.
So you don't want people having golfed up that way up in Evanston. I know that you slip and right into the water if you try looking for your golf ball in the weeds.
Yeah.
So so they have to take this. I presume it's going to be in sections. It's going to take a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying that they really don't know how they're going to do this. They don't really have... a price tag or a suggestion on how they're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
They're going to somewhat be relying on decisions that haven't been made yet, and they're going to have to do a lot of big public awareness campaigns and talk it up and, you know, tell taxpayers that.
Well, that's the next thing. Who's
like
going to pay?
Money.
Yeah, who's going to pay for this? It's expensive to do all of this stuff, and there's, you know, regulations from all kinds of agencies that you got to worry about.
And how far, you know, does it go? In other words, is it just going to be in Chicago proper?
Yeah.
Or are the other suburbs going to get involved? You have to deal with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the rivers go all over the place.
Yeah, especially if you say the Calumet. And what was the other one?
The Des Plaines River.
The Des Plaines. So now you've got even if they're offshoots of the canals, the north and south routes, you've got a lot of agencies involved. And then are they going to ask the federal government to come in and help out?
At some point, the federal government will be involved in that because of the water. Yeah, it's all regulated, you know, and you can't mix certain sands with the, you know, mud and all. This gets goofy after a while.
Okay.
And that's where the expense of this comes in.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. So they're saying by 2040... which, you know, how many years is that? 25 years?
2040?
Yeah. By 2040, it says, here, I'll read the quote. By 2040, as a result of decades of water quality improvements and habitat restoration, our rivers will be teeming with native plant and animal species, the report says, and will be swimming in, and we'll be swimming in them. Yes, you read that right. Apparently, that last sentence is even part of the report. Yes, you read that right. We'll be swimming in them as well. I just can't even imagine. Do you think they'll have tire swings?
Yeah,
big ropes.
You know,
that
would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Zip lining.
Yeah.
We'll go zip lining over the Chicago River.
Yeah.
And what else can we do? Yeah. Water slides. We'll turn it into a big water park.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look out, muskrats. Here we come.
Yeah. But that song will be playing for hours upon end, like F.E.O. Schwartz, and it'll just keep going and going and going.
Joey is now threatening us to play Muskrat Love again, just on a continuous loop.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see the Chicago River cleanup. Of course, it's already gotten a lot better. It's already so much more beautiful and usable than it was even just 25 years ago.
Well, just a couple of years with all the stuff they're doing with Riverwalk is just way cool. So if it's going to get better from there, it just becomes more of a tourist attraction. You know, more people are going to use it. It's way cool that way. But I'm still not sure, even by 2040, if they can clean up this river. Because there's a lot of history with, all kinds of stuff that's been dumped in the river.
Right.
If Rio can do it, we can do it, right?
I don't know if Rio succeeded completely.
Well, true.
Oh, they did a pretty good job with the games, and they brought show business to it. You know, some of the stuff wasn't completed. There were a lot of complaints about that.
Oh, yeah, but did you see the water?
Yeah.
Oh,
the green pool?
Oh, no, it wasn't just green. Well, the pool was green, but the water around the beach, it was just teeming with garbage.
Nice.
It was just, you could see chunks of garbage floating in the water off the beaches in Rio. It was disgusting. There's no way I would ever go in that water, as much as I love the beach. And I do love the beach.
I think that's where the boating is, along that area.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's, it's not the entire beach. I think there's a section portioned off for the boating, and they probably have nets hanging all the way down to try to keep that area clean.
Roger, we would like to check headlines with you. We'll be doing that right after this. I don't know this one.
It's rock and roll, man. I love
it. You know this one? Anyway, Leslie and Kent.
Zeppelin?
This is Led Zeppelin?
It sounds like them, but it's Wolf Mother.
Oh,
Woman
yes.
by Wolf
this
Mother.
Is, yeah.
But they got a very Led Zeppelin sound to them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's Leslie and Kent on 720 WGN.
I love the text that we got from one guy from the 606. He's asking where the leftover booze is.
We don't know. No one shared that with us.
Yeah. There must be a closet someplace around here.
Oh, I know where it's
at. Yeah.
Is it well hidden?
Roger has it.
No. I have coffee and water in here. But
Roger,
I do know where it is. Yes.
So how many kids do you have?
Two kids.
You have two. And
two
they're
adult
two
children.
Adult kids. Yeah. I was going to say, I knew that you had grandkids. So what was it like for you when your kids went away to college?
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of things. We wanted to make sure that they were doing what they felt most confident and comfortable doing. In other words, what were they going to major in? And being away from home. And then we were thinking about the finances.
Of course.
And
well,
stuff.
That's the
and
big one.
Whether we could afford to send them where they wanted to go. Both of our kids ended up at schools they didn't start at.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, we both went away to school and both ended up back home.
So, that wasn't very nice of them.
Well, no, I mean, they decided they wanted to be back in Chicago, and so they finished their schooling here in Chicago.
Oh, got it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they did both stay back home. to you know, instead of paying for housing and stuff. So.
Yeah.
I've got my oldest doing that. He decided that he was going to try to get through school without debt, which I think is way cool in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he, you know, he started out with a 2-year school, and then he transferred to Eastern. And so far, the economics have stayed in check. He's, you know,
that's good.
He stayed at home until he's 25, meaning he just took advantage of everything around him to keep the debt down. So that was cool.
Excellent.
So I didn't have to travel across the country or, you know, deliver him anywhere or
mm-hmm.
write big checks to, you know, big schools.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of wish my 20-year-old would get on that bandwagon. The plan was that she was going to go to community college for 2 years, and then she was going to go to Columbia for 2 years. She's majoring in theatrical design, so she has a focus on set building and design and also costuming. Mm-hmm. And then her theater teacher at her high school said that he thought that Columbia was great for certain things, but that he thought for what she wanted to do, there were better options.
Mm-hmm.
And he also told her that he thought it would be good for her to go to a 4-year institution.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, thank you.
Well, I think it's important to you know, finish at a 4-year institution.
Well, no, he thought that it was important for her to start, like do all 4 years at the same institution, because in theater, so much of it is built on relationships.
Well, that's true.
He said by the time she would come in as a junior, the teachers would already know who they wanted heading up their crews.
But how long would that take to change?
I mean, I don't know. But it really it did happen that way. Even as a sophomore, she was chosen to be a stage manager for one of the first shows that they did last year. She's going into her starting her junior year on Monday at Illinois State University.
Well, Illinois State's a great school for theater.
It is, and that's why she chose it.
Okay.
She wanted to stay in the Midwest, wanted to stay close enough to home so that she could come home on the weekend. She didn't want to be the kid that couldn't come home until Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at a small Catholic university up in La Crosse called Viterbo. And my husband and I really pushed against that because La Crosse is a good 5 hours without traffic. Or maybe 4 without traffic, but you always ran into traffic. And the last time we came home, it took us like 7 hours to get home. We just ran into some really awful traffic around Woodfield. And I just wasn't real thrilled with having her be that far away.
Yeah, and the Bears don't practice up there anymore, so.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's
well, being a theater kid, you know, she just doesn't care about sports.
I can imagine. But that's, yeah, so Illinois State's a very good school. So, and it's a state school, so
it's
less expensive. Close enough to Chicago.
Right.
You know, where you guys feel comfortable, but far enough where she can say she doesn't live too close to you.
Right. You know. Well, I suggested Northern, and she said, no, that's too close.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, because we live right off of 88.
Oh, okay. So
and
that would be a perfect ride for her.
I could have gotten to, I can get to DeKalb in about 45 minutes, and she said,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, way too close.
Yeah, no. No.
Mom, you're cramping my space.
Yeah, she said, there was a message there.
Yeah.
She said, you're going to end up on my doorstep one day.
Ooh, yeah, not good.
Would
not good.
I do that?
No.
Me?
No.
Yeah. Although, saying goodbye to her, just it doesn't get easier.
No, it never does.
I thought I was going to be fine. I actually thought I was doing okay. As I was saying earlier, I was listening to Bill Leff earlier talking about sending his daughter off to New York, and I was crying as I was listening to him the day before we were taking our kid downstate to say goodbye to her. And I actually did okay that day until we were saying goodbye and until I went to hug her goodbye. And then I lost it.
Oh,
yeah.
But my husband and I went down there, and my husband just got an SUV, and he loves it. He's so excited that he got an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in Indiana. In the country.
Oh, so that's, yeah.
He really, really wanted a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And he actually drove a pickup truck. He was ready to buy it. And
He should have.
Well, he didn't like the way it drove.
Yeah.
He went to test drive the one that he had picked out. I don't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But he test drove it, and he said, you know, I don't think this is it. And then they had this SUV. It's a 2014. Mm-hmm. And so he drove that, and he really liked the SUV.
I live in my truck.
I know. And your truck, don't you have a diesel?
I do.
Oh, God, that smells bad. Yeah. Anyway,
I'm saving on the fuel bill.
Yeah, I know, but man, that thing stinks.
It's got a lot of power. I pull the RV just fine.
See, we don't need that. Yeah. You pull the boat, you pull the RV.
Yeah.
See, we don't need that. That was one of my arguments for getting an SUV was, we don't need a truck. We live in the suburbs. We don't need a truck. We don't ever haul anything.
That's when you need it, though. You just don't know it.
Rent one from Home Depot for $20 or whatever it is.
You can't put very much in those trucks. You got to have a real truck, you know, the one with the dualies.
Home Depot has bigger ones.
The diesel. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. The turbocharger.
Then we call our friend Kent and say, hey, can we borrow your big old truck?
And my, you know, trailer that can haul 24,000 pounds.
I have never, ever in my life needed a truck that big. Well, I guess maybe when I moved.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm ever going to move like that again where I just have all my friends help me move.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, no, so it was hard. It was hard taking her to school, dropping her off.
What kind of anxiety is it? You know, can you describe the anxiety when you drop her off? Is it, you know, I'm going to miss you, or
yeah,
is it
really
like,
is.
It feels like complete separation.
It's a little bit of worry.
Worried about what?
Well, she's in an apartment for the first time.
Yeah. Well, she's been with you forever, so you kind of know her character, right?
Right. Well, it's not her that I'm worried about as much as, we got there and there were a bunch of the kids from the building. They were playing frisbee in the parking lot, and they seemed okay.
So you're worried about everybody else?
I kind of am.
Oh, come on.
She's going to sort this out. It's going to be okay.
It's
we go
a learning
into the
experience.
Apartment. No, we go into the apartment, and there's this note saying, hey, we're having a party tonight. Please don't call the cops. Well, We'd love for you to come to our party.
This is college.
You know,
I went to UWSP, and it was party every night, just Friday, not just Saturday.
Oh, I know, I know. It was, I actually went to NIU for a year and a half before I ended up transferring to Columbia. And, oh, gosh, there was Friday and Saturday, but then there were dot nights, which was drunk on Thursday.
Oh, so now you're transferring your experiences onto your daughter.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Oh, she's a much better kid than I was. Much, much better.
Oh, well, then what are you worried about?
Because I remember how I was. What do you mean when I'm worried? I don't want her turning out like me.
Leslie's still having nightmares from a few nights, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Could be.
You know, I've forgotten my past for good reason, or I've just blacked it out, you know.
Yeah, and my husband drank a lot when he was in college.
Ooh.
He
had to prepare for those, you know, big exams, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy down the hall from me, this is where my despise or my disdain came for, you know, Jim Morrison, the Doors. When I was in college, a guy at the end of the hall played Doors like 24/7, 365. Mm-hmm. And there were other things about this guy. I walked in there one day and he offered me some brownies.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Hello. That was it. That's all I remember.
And, of course, you said, sure, I liked some brownies.
Then we became friends, and then I began to like the Doors.
I see. And you liked brownies.
Yes. Chocolate, of course.
Of course. Going back to chocolate, Roger, that isn't the kind of chocolate you have available.
No, this is store-bought, and there's nothing baked inside except layers of chocolate.
Okay, good.
Very good chocolate.
Yeah, I lived in a dorm for a year and a half, and my dorm wasn't too bad, although there was a lot of drinking that went on. We would go to the frat parties, not that we had any interest in frats, but we would go
parties.
There because, you know, you paid $2 and drank as much as you could hold.
Yeah.
But the guy that I was dating lived, you know, in the dorm across the way. And
so the dating experience frightens you.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit. Yeah, there is a little bit of that. But no, it's not even that. It was the way the guys treated their dorm. So, you know, at that time it was the girls were in one tower and the guys were in another tower. And mm-hmm. he lived in the guys' tower, obviously. But like I remember one guy vomited on the wall.
Well, that was, you know, an everyday experience.
And it stayed there for the rest of the semester.
Gross.
Nobody cleaned it up.
That is disgusting.
Well, this is college
disgusting.
Life.
Disgusting. Yeah. It was disgusting. I remember they called the kid Flounder.
Because they're flopping on the floor?
Well, from the John Belushi character from Animal House.
Oh, right,
House.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and those, man, those guys drank, and they were doing many, many, many other things. Yeah.
Most of it illegal.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just stating fact.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are, there are days and nights. I don't remember much myself, unfortunately. Then I got sick at school. I caught mono.
Oh, did you get it from a girl?
Probably. Well, see, I was working. I had several jobs in school. And one of them, one year, was working front desk security in the girls' dorm.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
There's no better place to
good
be.
Good placement.
And I think that's where I caught mono. So I almost lost all the credits. We had quarters back then. We didn't have semesters.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think this was the winter quarter, I want to say. And so I worked out a deal with several of the professors, wrote some papers and did this and that, and I think I ended up not getting credit in one or two courses. And so I had to stay for the summer after I should have graduated.
Mm.
I had to stay and finish things up.
That was one of the fringe benefits of college. I did a little security during my college days, and the girls would just come find you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they knew where I was, right at the front desk. You know, knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
You know, 10 o'clock at night, knock, knock, knock. Yeah, can I help you?
Yeah, I
live here.
They would go on your rounds with you, and they got really friendly along the way. It was, you know.
Yeah.
I remember.
You know.
I remember.
Worked a little security.
I think we're helping Leslie with this now.
Yeah, you're feeling better about
helping.
Things?
Oh, definitely. let's continue the conversation after this. It's AM 720 WGN.
I hear panic in her voice now.
There we go.
Now Leslie gets it.
Is this a live version?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's different. I like it. I dig it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think you need a new heartthrob. This guy's what, 70 now?
This is Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I love Led Zeppelin, but my heartthrob is Steven Tyler of Aerosmith.
I know that.
Yeah, okay. It's WGN AM 720, Leslie and Kent filling in for Met Bubala, who will be here later today filling in for John Williams, talking about college. We got a text from 331, I think. I'm sorry, I lost the number. Anyway, it says, I'm going to be a sophomore at ISU moving in this morning. Weekend starts on Wednesday every week. Not making me feel any better about this.
Yeah.
she's not wrong.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Now, Joey, you just recently graduated from another fine state school.
I did.
Yeah, so is that right? Weekend start on Wednesday?
Wednesday, you could. It's kind of early. For U of I, it was always Thursday.
Ah.
It was like two. For some odd reason, at least at U of I and some other colleges, Tuesday, Thursday are big nights during the week, and then that weekend will start Thursday through the entire weekend. But I've never understood the Tuesday thing, but it's the big night going out. Monday is like the, you know, relax, rest after the weekend. But Tuesday, Thursday, then Thursday through the weekend is how that schedule sometimes goes.
Well, I guess I can take comfort in the fact that she doesn't actually really like parties.
There's always time.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, and she's living in a building. There's 12 apartments, and I think there's roughly 3 people in each apartment. So I'm guessing they're probably going to get to know each other.
Absolutely.
And, of course, she doesn't mind parties as much when she knows the people that are going to be at the party. She actually kind of enjoys them. So, and then there's 2 buildings. It's like twin buildings. So it was.
It just starts out with the social experience and then it migrates into, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nice things about it was all these kids dropped their Frisbee game, grabbed stuff out of the SUV, and helped us carry the stuff up to her apartment, which was all the way on the third floor and no elevator in the building. So we're like, okay, these seem like pretty good kids.
Yeah. Well, they all are.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Yeah. I'm sure they are. I'm sure the fact that they're that they're having parties and begging their neighbors not to call the cops.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're mostly clothed, and you know.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They were appropriately clothed. But yeah, the note was, you know, we're in apartment. I think it was apartment 11, yeah. And we're having a party tonight, and we just want to do this one big party before school starts. We promise we won't be doing this every night, right. But we want to have one big one before school starts. But we're really afraid that you might call the cops. Please don't call the cops. We'd love for you to come to our party. If it's too loud, please come and knock on our door, and we'll turn the music down, or we'll make sure the volume is down. But please don't call the cops. And every time I read the line, please don't call the cops, it's like giving me a little bit more anxiety.
So, just breathe. It'll be okay. Yeah.
But I think it must be an okay building. The guys that were there said that most of them were seniors and that they had lived there last year.
Perfect guidance.
Well, yeah, there is guidance, but that also makes me feel like it must be an okay place to live if you chose to live there again a second year. And it's really close to campus. She brought her car with her. I doubt that she'll be using it very much because there's no place to park on campus at Illinois State. And she, like I said, she's walking distance anyway, so just going to be easier. What was it? Oh, so Greg didn't go away to school.
No, he just got to the point where he was decided he was going to move out of the house, be independent. He's got one semester left yet, but it was definitely a learning experience for me, you know, because I never, you know, thought about that moment in my entire life. I just thought it was going to be, you know, the way that it was forever. And then it came.
So how did he approach you? Just, I'm out of here?
No, it was kind of a slow progression. It was an odd thing. A friend showed up at the house. There was an opportunity, and he decided it was time to take that opportunity and move on and, you know, have his own independence. You start to think about things like, you know, was I a good parent? Did I do all the right stuff at the right time? You know, did I give him every opportunity in life to do what he wanted? You know, and then it's like that separation thing. You know, how long is this going to be? Is this temporary?
How far away did he move?
Not very far, maybe 5 miles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So you still get to see him. He'll still come and do his laundry?
Yeah. And he still comes and raids the fridge.
Well, there you go.
That'll never change, probably.
All right. Okay, we're going to check the news. Oh, there we go. It's 4 o'clock. We'll check the news next with Roger Badish. It's AM 720 WGN.
Up with the sun, gone with the wind. Love this guy.
I just want to sing along to all of them.
He's always using a Stratocaster. I like that.
Okay, it's Leslie and Kent on WGN.
Does he have his headband on yet?
Yeah.
We are in for Matt Bubala, who's going to be here later. If you'd like to join the conversation, call us or text us. Yeah. Call us.
312-981-7200.
Or text us.
Yeah.
That's good, too. Roger, are you a good traveling companion?
No.
No, no, I'm not either.
Well, my wife hates it. I like planning things out and sticking to the plan. I'm not. My wife will be the first one to tell you. If she was awake right now, she'd call you and
let you know.
Oh my God, in detail. Yes, I'm not a good travel companion. Unfortunately,
I'm just go with the flow. But I like to drive. You know, maybe that's a sign of control. I don't know.
Now,
I used to love to drive, and now it's boring to me. Long distances.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I'm glad. That was another reason why I didn't want my kid to go farther than Illinois State, is because I just don't like to drive.
Yeah.
I can handle the drive there, you know,
I
the
love
lacrosse.
Oh, it just kind of puts me in that nice place where I can, you know, think about things that are going on around me in life in general.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of. It's another world for me.
Yeah. See, I get bored. Yeah. Sometimes I listen to books on, books on audiobooks, whatever. I almost said books on tape. We don't listen to tape anymore.
It's a little different story, though, when you bring your entire family with you.
Well, how do you and your wife travel? I mean,
well,
we finally
got it figured out, mm-hmm. because for a long time we would get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Child A would start picking on Child B. Child B would start picking on A. And mm-hmm. then pretty soon, you know, I got involved. And then, you know, my wife
got
involved.
Don't make me come back there.
And then, you know, the car pulls off to the side of the road and a screeching, you know, screeching halt. And we're at it, you know. But finally, everyone decided to do their own thing. You know, we hooked up some TVs in the car. We hooked up some, you know, ways to play music independently. Could play some video games. It settled everything.
Yeah. And my kids went through that too. We never did video games, but they loved to read. They both are voracious readers, and the younger one couldn't read in the car when she was young because she'd just get motion sickness.
Oh,
and
right.
I can't read in the car.
Yeah.
I cannot read in the car; otherwise, bad things will happen.
Well, I will not take you up in the airplane then.
Oh no, I can.
You can handle that.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're commercial.
Yeah, if you get motion sick, though, you know, the little airplanes are bouncing around a little bit. And, yeah.
Maybe I'll take some Dramamine.
And we can open the door and you just hang
your
head up.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
But, yeah, so traveling with the family is quite the experience.
Well, we did take a road trip this past summer. We drove to Cleveland and went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
yeah.
which I loved, and I could probably
spend...
That'd
be a great destination.
Yeah. Well, we spent one day there. Actually, not even a full day. We didn't get there until, I think, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because my kids are 16 and 20, and there's not any getting them up before
noon,
11, you know. And then we actually met a friend who used to live in Chicago, and he lives in Cleveland now. We met him and his kids for lunch, went to this great restaurant. My husband's a meat lover. I mean, he, you know, meat, right? And our friend...
He's got to have his steak, right?
It doesn't have to be steak, but it's got to be meat. Our friend Gary is a vegan.
Oh.
And this
don't
restaurant...
Don't get me started.
Apparently the restaurant that we went to in Cleveland, the wife is a vegan and the husband is a meat eater. And so they have everything on the menu from, you know, vegan burgers to big old steaks. And so we had a nice lunch, and then we went and spent the afternoon at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But getting there was just torture for me. I mean, I was just like...
Well, what kind of torture, you know, are you talking about here?
I was just bored.
Yeah?
I was just bored. I was, you know, just... Like I said, I can't read in the car.
Mm.
So occasionally I would be on my phone, but I can't be on the phone too much, like on Facebook or whatever on my phone, because I start to get motion sickness after a while. My husband is like you. He loves to drive.
Yeah.
Roger, do you like to drive? Oh, you said you don't.
Not
you
long distance.
Yeah.
And city driving starting to get to me. And I'm okay if I'm alone in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get company in the car, it's kind of weird. If a family member's in the car, they're nervous because of the way I drive, and their nervousness makes me a little edgier.
Sure.
But if I've got somebody else in the car... For some reason, I'm a lot calmer driving, and I take my time, and I'm more, you know, I go slower, and not that I go too fast at times, but longer distance, unless it's somewhere new that I'm driving to for a longer distance.
Dude,
but I've driven way too much across both lengths and widths of the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing new to me. And I've driven most of Route 66 from Illinois, from Chicago all the way out to Vegas, and then
that's a cool ride.
Took 80 back. 80 is the northern route, I think, coming through Salt Lake City and the northern part. So we did that. I've driven to Niagara Falls, down through New York.
See, that just sounds torturous
to me. Well, that's a great ride.
It's a marvelous ride.
That just
ride.
Sounds torturous to me.
But there's, you know, if you're caught in a traffic tie-up or if it's a long, straight stretch of road and there's not much to do, after a while you get tired of pulling off into rest stops and stuff. You know, it's like, can this please be over? Can we be where we're supposed to be at 4 o'clock on the drive? I told you I was very you know, detailed in my driving.
Who gets to control the radio if you're, you know, riding with family and you're...
I do.
Yeah. It's usually...
It's not even a question.
In our car, it's almost always the driver. Whoever is driving gets to control. Now, occasionally, my husband will be nice and... like I said earlier, he just got a new SUV, and so he's got a trial of satellite radio, which I have this kind of love-hate relationship with because I love radio.
Terrestrial.
I love terrestrial, real radio, and I actually had satellite radio for a while, and I really missed listening to local radio, and I got rid of my satellite radio. Because
my disappointment with satellite radio was that I just didn't like the sound quality.
Yeah, the sound quality is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was kind of nice in the car. So, you know, the kids got to listen to some of the alternative satellite stations for a while. And I kind of like those, too. I do like Lithium, which is the 90s one.
I like the Dance Channel.
Do you?
Yeah. The rhythm, you know.
Now, but going back to what you said about having everybody doing their own thing, that's when it gets the worst for me.
Really?
I don't mind... if I'm in the car and I can, and we're having a conversation, then the time goes by. But if nobody wants to talk to me, that's when I start going, okay, well, what's happening?
In our family, it's like people start digging at each other if they talk too much. So,
well, that happens too.
Don't know why that is.
Our kids used to bicker a lot in the car too. She's touching me.
That kind of stuff makes me goofy.
Yeah, but my husband doesn't even like to talk when we fly.
Yeah,
we went to Costa Rica a couple of years ago, and according to him, we accidentally got put into two different rows, and it actually worked out really well because when he flies, he likes to stick his nose in a book and not have anybody bother him the whole time. And I'm kind of tugging on his sleeve going, what you doing? What you reading? How come you're not talking to me? So I end up talking. I had a middle seat, and there was a woman there, and she started talking to me. And so I started chatting with her. And then a guy sat down on the other side of me, and I started chatting with him.
That would make me crazy. I like a little bit of conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
But chatty, 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 chatty. No, no. That doesn't work for me.
Yeah, well, wait till you hear what happened. I'll tell you more after this. It's AM 720 WGN.
He's got our number.
Crazy train. 720 WGN, Leslie and Ken.
Gotta love Ozzy.
Talking about traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was telling you a couple of years ago, my husband and I went to Costa Rica. It was actually for our 20th wedding anniversary, and we ended up sitting in different rows of the plane. Sat down. There was a woman sitting there, and I was in the middle seat, and I sat down, and she started chatting with me a little bit. Guy, a bit younger than me, not real young, but a bit younger than me, sat down on the other side of me. He started chatting a little bit with me. And he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm in radio. And he smiled and he said, my dad used to be in radio. I said, oh, really? Well, what station did your dad work for? And he told me and he said, and I said, I used to work for that radio station.
Wow.
I said, what's your dad's name? And he told me and I said, I know your dad.
You're on an airplane to eat. And you found this.
Yeah. Well, we were on our way back to Chicago. We were on our way from Costa Rica. We had to stop in, I think it was Houston. Yeah. We had gone through customs and immigration there. And then we had to, you know, board another plane from Houston back to Chicago.
It's always a small world.
It was so weird. It was so weird. And this particular guy, this guy's dad, has actually been out. That was the only radio station he worked at. And now he works for one of the local colleges. I'm not even sure what he's teaching. But I ended up talking to this guy, this son of my former coworker, the entire flight.
Wow.
I ended up feeling kind of sorry for the woman who was sitting on my right because she had actually started talking to me at first. And he and I are talking about Foo Fighters, and I'm taking out my Rolling Stone magazine, and I'm showing him pictures of Dave Grohl. And it was the perfect thing to happen. because on the way down there, like I said, my husband and I were sitting together, and he just wanted to read, and I just wanted to talk.
Yeah, I've never had an experience like that, except one time when I was flying in an airplane. There was a girl sitting next to me, and she was terrified to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And she hung onto my leg the entire flight.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Did you have, like, nail marks in your leg?
I did, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she break the skin?
No. It was just, you know, half of me was like, oh, this is sort of cool. The other half is like, ouch.
Yeah. So now that your kids are older, do you travel, you and your wife just travel together?
Not much, no. I mean, I did send them to, you know, we travel separately quite a bit. She goes to see her parents in mm-hmm. central Wisconsin, and then I go see my dad up in northwest Wisconsin. You know, stuff like that, but
okay.
Rarely are we going on long trips lately, just because of work schedules and different things like that. And it's been difficult this last year to do anything. But when we do travel, we have done this successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, my husband and I
usually what happens is she starts to sleep about, 5 minutes into the ride.
Oh, perfect.
Maybe it's a coping mechanism.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, if it works for you guys, you're driving, she's sleeping, everybody's yeah. happy. Sounds good to me. My husband and I went to San Diego in May, and we actually did okay with that. Partly, I think, because of the in-flight entertainment.
Mm.
You know, I guess if you put a TV in front of me or you put, something like that, I'm okay with that.
Now you can do all this Wi-Fi stuff on the airplanes, too, which, you can
yeah.
just go crazy with your phone.
Yeah, but I'm too cheap to pay for it, and my phone's not... Well, now, it's weird because I have T-Mobile, and yeah. when we were flying Delta, and all of a sudden I was, able to text in flight, and then Delta upgraded their system, which then left my phone in the dust, and I was no longer able to text in flight, and I was supposed to get the phone updated. I ended up getting a new phone recently, so I don't know. I'm guessing that this new phone is going to be compatible.
Mm.
But I'm starting to think that maybe I should find some new traveling companions. Not like I shouldn't travel with my husband.
Just dump your husband.
No, I don't think I should dump him. But we do actually travel separately a lot.
Yeah.
I go down to see my mom in Florida a lot, and I take the kids with me, and he doesn't go.
Yeah.
He doesn't really like Florida all that much. And we like to go places, like we're going to the beach, and we're going here, we're going there. Again, he just wants to sit there and read.
Mm.
Although when we went to San Diego, we did a lot of sightseeing,
yeah.
which was nice, because that's what I want to do. I'm like, okay, I'm in San Diego. I want to go and see the things that are in San Diego. Or I'm in Cleveland. I want to go and see the things that are in Cleveland. I don't want to sit and just read.
Yeah.
If I want to sit and read, I can go home and do that.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I like to be adventurous, too.
Yeah.
So that's part of the battle, is just getting out of the hotel room and doing something cool.
Right. And that's kind of part of the problem with the kids, is that the kids don't like to get up
mm-hmm.
and get out. Although once they're out, they enjoy it. But it's getting harder to find things that they want to do, because a lot of the attractions, a lot of the typical attractions, are really geared towards younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got this friend who, she's actually become my concert buddy. This is another thing. I mentioned that I love going to concerts. My husband will sit there.
Going.
My husband will sit
there.
You need
three more jobs so you can do this.
Yeah, I do. I need a job that just sends me to concerts.
This is an obsession. I don't even think this is a hobby.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of a way of turning this into a money-making thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I've got this good friend who she and I love going to concerts together, because, again, my husband doesn't really like going as much as I do, and when he does, he just kind of sits there and listens. Now, my girlfriend and I will be dancing, we'll be singing, and we're
jamming.
Having a good time, and, yeah, she came with me to see Steven Tyler, mm-hmm. and she and her husband are going with us to see Pearl Jam. And I actually had better seats to see Pearl Jam. And my husband said to me, because we had four seats in the 400 level, and we had two seats in the 200 level. And my husband said to me, you might have more fun if you're sitting with this other, with your friend.
Yeah.
And I said to him, well, would you mind if she and I went and sat in the better seats and you can go and sit with her husband? And he said, yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah, I can see Jamie. I can see your husband doing, just kind of hanging around, just sort of,
Yeah, yeah.
Taking it all in, and I can see you getting, wild and crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a good time. So anyway, so I ended up selling the 200-level seats to somebody in my neighborhood, and we're going to sit in the 400-level seats, and I'm sure I'll have a much better time at the Burl Jam concert. So, you know, but I was thinking, I know a lot of women who go on these girls' weekends, and it really looks like fun.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Just, you know,
travel. You want to go on a, I know you want to go on a girls' weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can't go on a girls' weekend. But I can.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to plan that.
We do guys' weekends all the time.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah. My friend and I, we go, you know, we grab the Harley. We just go, you know, whether it's Galena or
nice,
you know, someplace near the Mississippi River or, you know, down south. We just go.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, do you stay overnight somewhere?
Yeah. He's trying to talk me into going to, like, to, you know, Montana or Denver or, you know, someplace where we can go ride in the mountains and stuff like that.
Very nice.
Definitely cool. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds cool. All right, we got to check the news that's coming up with Roger Badish after this. It's 720 WGN.
I think they're getting us.
Yeah, I think so. Joey, we're digging your choices.
It's AM 720 WGN, Leslie and Kent.
Would you get into a car that didn't have a driver?
Hell no. I think not.
Okay, so Uber is having the first self-driving fleet arriving in Pittsburgh this month.
You mean not? This is not a car manufacturer doing this? Is Uber the delivery people?
I mean, they've been working with car manufacturers, but
yeah. Okay.
People in Pittsburgh are going to be able to call a self-driving car from their phone.
Damn,
yeah.
That's scary. That's frightening,
so,
actually.
Google's been working on this for a while. Tesla has been working on this. Tesla actually has something. They've got an autopilot. Not like I'm ever going to drive a Tesla, although I could, you know... I could see me driving a Tesla.
A Tesla is a cool car.
Yeah. Well, yeah, with a cool price tag. Anyway.
Not so bad, you know, 100 grand or so.
Okay, moving on. So Tesla has an autopilot, which is basically a souped-up cruise control that drives the car on
the
highway.
Well, they've had some problems with it, though.
Have they?
Yeah, it hasn't actually gone all that. I mean, it's safe for the most part, but there have actually been a couple of accidents. I'm not sure if anyone has actually become a casualty yet, but... It's proven to have its issues with Tesla.
Yeah, earlier this week, Ford announced plans that they're going to have driverless ride-sharing service. Mm-hmm. But Uber's Pittsburgh fleet is going to be, at first, it is going to be supervised.
Well, I can see on an economic level how
humans.
This could work for them.
Well, yeah.
You know, it takes the human factor out. They don't, you know, at some point they don't have to pay a driver. But where is the safety in all of this?
I would like to know. It doesn't seem very safe to me. Yeah. But at first, it is going to be supervised by humans. Mm. There is going to be a human being in the driver's seat for the time being. But it's a special Volvo. It's a sport. It's an SUV, and it's got dozens of sensors. It's got cameras. It's got lasers. It's got radar. It's got GPS. And Volvo has actually delivered some of the vehicles. They're supposed to have 100 of them due by the end of the year. Volvo signed the contract with Uber. It's like $300 million to develop a fully autonomous car that will be ready for the road by 2021. That's less than 5 years away.
Yeah. You know, it's bad enough there's crazy people out there. Now we got computerized cars. And,
yes.
You know, the next stage of this is obviously they'll be networked. And it's already been proven that some of these new cars that are networked have issues. People can hack into them.
What do you mean by that?
Well, networked, you can actually hack into these cars because they're
so Wi-Fi. What do you mean by the cars will be networked?
Well, there's an actual physical, like a wireless network that connects them. That in itself, because if there's no driver in the car, there's a chance that someone could manipulate this car, you know, just like you can hack into anyone's computer.
Sure.
So that becomes some kind of issue.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So the more computers, the more networks you have, the more susceptible they are
to,
you know, the crazy folk. Crazy. You know, are you going to ride in this? I mean, I think.
Uh-uh. No.
Yeah.
No. No, not just because of that. It does make me nervous, although in some instances, you got to admit that it's a better idea than we know that people still get behind the wheel that should not get behind the wheel.
Well, that's true.
We know that there's people who are intoxicated in one form or another, and they should not be driving cars, and they are driving cars.
We know
that that's happening. So that in that case, it would certainly be a better idea if it was a self-driving car.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It just seems that the more mechanical, the more electrical, the more computerized, just issues all over the place.
It does seem like there might be more things to go wrong, although cars have a lot more stuff on them now than they did just even a few years ago.
Yeah, and I don't like that personally.
Really?
You know, there was a day when I could work on my own car because it was simple.
Yeah.
The spark plug, you know.
Sure.
The carburetor.
I got to tell you, I love some of the updates. I really love heated seats, which, you know, growing up, we didn't have heated seats.
Yeah,
you know,
well.
Growing up, we walked in the snow uphill to school both ways.
Barefoot, too, probably.
Right, exactly. No, the other thing that I love is the wireless Bluetooth speakerphone.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice convenience.
I love that. When I bought my car in 2012, I didn't even know that technology existed. my car is actually a 2010, but my husband discovered it.
We've got someone on the phone that wants to talk about this a little bit.
Oh.
I don't know how to work the phone. Still learning.
Harold, Harold, go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Bring the question. Okay, so you got no driver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Car.
Right.
Guy cuts you off.
do you
got to flip him off yourself, or do you got to get out there and go pound on his window? Or, I mean, how do you know?
Well, there's nobody to flip off, so that's out of the question.
Yeah, what if you need to honk at somebody?
The other guy.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, I know. My kid was driving the other day, and somebody cut her off, and she barely tapped her horn.
Hmm.
You know, I'm sure the guy didn't even hear her. He was already gone, and I was like, that was the lamest honk of the horn I've ever heard. But you're right. Somebody cuts you off. What do you do about that? Take down their license number.
You have to do it. I mean, all this stuff you have to do yourself now. I guess you could tip yourself.
Pardon?
I said, I guess you could tip yourself if this is an Uber car.
There you go.
Yeah.
Save some money. Tip yourself or pay yourself or something like that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Harold. Well, thanks for the call.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too. 720 WGN. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 312-981-7200. Talking about self-driving cars.
You know what it reminds me of?
No.
The movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger was a futuristic movie.
Oh,
where
yeah.
He's on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think they're called the Johnny Cabs. There was this robotic half figure sitting in the driver's seat. The mouth would talk and they would spin around on the whatever was holding it in place.
Mm-hmm.
And you would tell it where you wanted to go. And the computer was speaking, obviously, through the robot. And Schwarzenegger ripped the thing off its post and drove the car himself.
Yeah.
No, traffic is bad enough as it is in this country. And all you need is for this thing to just once not stay in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
Go the wrong way down a one-way street.
Yes.
Go the wrong way on the wrong lane of traffic. We've got that problem right now with regular people.
Yeah. Sure.
Go too fast. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, like getting your foot stuck on the ignition.
Right. Or how does it know when the speed limit changes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have... Like, you know, emergency vehicles can change lights to go through intersections. There's the process electronically where they can have the lights, you know, control the lights so they can go through to get where they got to go fast. Are you going to put those controls for these remote cars? Are you going to put controls in the roadway on every street in every city all across this country? What's the cost going to be?
Right.
Are you using GPS?
Yes.
To do this now, which obviously would be the smarter things, less expensive. But, you know, there are places just down here, underneath the Tribune Tower, GPS is not, we cannot access GPS.
Oh, I know.
Now, Leslie had that experience coming here.
Right.
It took me about a half an hour to find the parking lot because I kept losing my GPS signal every time I went on Lower Wacker or Lower Water.
Sure.
And I finally had to have Joey meet me in front of the Tribune Tower and follow him to the parking lot because I could not find. I was practically in tears because every time I go to one of the lower streets here in Chicago, I lose my GPS signal.
And the truth is, GPS has come a long ways in the recent years, but it's still not perfect. It's not point precision.
And what if you're going into a garage to park?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know, buildings in almost every city, there are residential buildings, business buildings, where the garages are within the building. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, they can show you where the building is, but how's it going to drive you through that parking lot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just too many issues still for me to get into one of those. And then where's the emergency cutoff switch?
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, you know, like driver's ed school, when you went out and there were two steering wheels and two brakes, one for you, the student, and one for the teacher.
Yes.
Right. Are we going to have that? So just in case, it's just too scary.
It's definitely scary. It just doesn't seem like there's so many things that have to come together for this to work right. That's the biggest problem, and we got to have all those things in unison and in precision.
Yeah. Well, another thing that concerns me is that we're going to stop using that part of our brain. Again, I've been listening to Bill Leff a lot this week, and he said that studies show that we're losing the ability to kind of think of things. You know, here I am doing it right now, searching for words or searching for. We're so used to being able to look it up on Google.
Right.
That no one stops to think, like, what was the name of that person that I went to school with in fifth grade? Obviously, that wouldn't be on Google. That's not a good example. Or what was the name of that actor that played that part in that movie? Instead of, like, actually thinking of it in your brain, you go to Google and you look it up. So we're starting to lose those pathways in our brain. And so I also wonder, are we going to start, start losing the pathways that we use to drive cars?
And what else does that lead to?
See, I wonder this using our brains less, if this is...
Yeah. I mean, we're doing it right now. Ever since the smartphone or cell phone came into existence, how long have cell phones been around?
Oh, more than 20 years.
Yeah.
The kind where you can store numbers?
Yeah.
Because I used to have every phone number in the world memorized.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Every number.
Oh, yeah.
No matter whether I needed to call it anymore or not.
Right.
Right?
I can still tell you what my phone number was when I grew up in Des Plaines.
Exactly. I know my mother's work number from the high school. But the problem is now, my wife will say, call our daughter or call our son. Find out. I go, I'll text them.
Yes.
I don't know the phone number.
Sometimes
what if I didn't have my phone and I had to use a phone, someone's business phone, like a regular phone, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll probably end up looking like Scotty in that Star Trek movie where they went back in time and he picks up the mouse to talk to the computer, you know? This is ridiculous. I have forgotten the phone numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Occasionally I have to stop and really think if I have to call my kid from someone else's phone or sometimes I actually call them. We still have a landline. We are.
Yeah, I'm still not sure I know, you know, my kid's phone number. You know,
really?
I just push the button.
Mm-hmm,
it just
mm-hmm.
has the name and I push the button.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. But we still have a landline.
Yeah. We got rid of ours.
Yeah, a lot of people.
How often do you use yours? We have one too.
I actually use it probably a couple of times a week. When I'm home, I like using the landlines. Uh, I, I, I worry about having the cell phone right up next to my head.
Oh, so are you one of those?
I am one of those. Okay. I am one of those. And so if I'm home, I will use the landline.
My wife uses the landline, but she has the cell phone sitting next to her so she can text.
Ah, yeah.
But she uses the landline, and her friends call on the landline and text on the cell phone.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I know. Please, I've given up trying to understand. We have the landline because of the internet.
Okay.
That's the only reason we still have that.
Okay. Well, I actually called Kent this week on my landline, and then he called me back.
I didn't know which one I was calling. Yeah. Your husband got mad at me. You're calling the house line.
Oh, he didn't get mad at you. He didn't care.
Who is this, he says.
Well, yeah, it was weird because we're not used to, and it didn't come up on our caller ID. It just, I mean, it had your phone number, but it didn't have your name. So we had, you know, he's asking me, it was yesterday when we were on our way, or Thursday rather, we were trying to get out the door to take the kid to college. We're already running late. We're stressing out. I'm already an emotional basket case. The phone rings and he says, 847, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know who it is. Just answer the phone. And so he answers the phone, and we figure out that it's Kent calling on the house phone. What are you doing calling on the house phone?
Gee, he just wanted to see if it was working.
Yeah. I guess.
Again, there's just a button in my phone. I didn't know, you know, I don't know Leslie's number exactly, you know. I know the area code, and I've got her name. I've got the two layers of numbers, and I just pushed a button, and I didn't know if it was the house or the...
And if you didn't pick up on that one, he would have pressed the other number.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would have probably not answered the cell phone either because I was trying to get out the door.
You were just avoiding me.
Oh, there you go. That's the real reason.
Yeah.
All right. It's AM 720 WGN. We'll have more after this.
We be rocking.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie's dancing back in the corner.
Yeah, I am.
She's on the countertop. 12-inch spike heels.
Can't beat Aerosmith. Anyway, Leslie and Kent in for Matt Bubala. It's almost over.
Yeah, that went fast.
Man, that went fast.
Unbelievable.
I was like, what are we going to talk about?
We actually survived it. When I started, I was getting kind of nervous as I'm like, how are we going to do?
I know. 3 hours seems like an eternity to just keep talking. And
I'm ready to do this again.
Somehow we, I know, me too. Anyway, Leslie and Kent, and how adorable is Simone Biles?
Oh, my geez.
I love this kid. You know, my kids are actually a little bit jealous because they think that I like Simone Biles better than I like them.
I think that's going a little far.
No, I know. Yeah. But it's so adorable because, of course, Zac Efron has been her crush.
Heart club, yeah.
She's even got a cardboard cutout that she said she used to kiss.
Yeah, that's a little bit over the top, but
but
maybe teenage girl like, I suppose.
Yeah, but it was so sweet that Zac Efron was just as nervous about meeting her.
Yeah,
what he said was they won gold medals, they were crushing it the entire Olympics, and I was like,
she was brilliant in her performance.
Yeah, oh
it was
my
unbelievable.
Gosh, how does she do that thing where she bounces off of her butt and then stands back up?
No, it doesn't. I don't. I'd be in a knot.
And there are so many funny memes about her.
Yeah.
I saw one just yesterday. Well, there was one that's been going around a couple of for a few days where she does her flip into the air, and they loop the flip, and they just, she's flipping and flipping and flipping, and she goes up into the stratosphere.
Oh,
and then she comes back down, and of course it's a perfect landing back on the mat. And then there was another one where she flips backwards, she lands, and the floor collapses. She hops right back out of the floor, lands on the mat, and, you know, does the butt bounce thing, and of course, does a beautiful, perfect landing.
Well,
it's really cute.
Zac Efron and Simone actually got together. It was a huge kiss, right?
Well, I don't think it was a huge kiss. Well, I think it was a little peck on the cheek.
Simone's boyfriend was completely
Well, now, I don't
by
think
this.
It was actually her boyfriend. This is adorable because I think the guys are now fighting over her. But it says, it says Brazilian, it's actually another gymnast. It's a Brazilian gymnast, Arthur Mariano, and he says he has a message for Zac Efron. He says, stay away from Simone Biles. So Arthur Mariano is a bronze medalist, and Simone Biles playfully calls her calls him her Brazilian boyfriend, and she posted a real cute picture of the two of them hugging while he was kissing the 2016 Olympic individual all-around vault and floor and champion on the cheek. So it's really, really cute that all these people are now fighting over Simone Biles. And she deserves it. Four gold medals. And,
oh, that's crazy good.
And she started off, she had a really rough life.
Yeah.
She went from foster home to foster home and, you know, had a father who took off.
This is like a huge storybook.
Her grandparents adopted her. Yeah.
It's really cool when people like that actually get to a point like this in life where, you know, something really good happens.
Yeah. And, I mean, she's worked hard for it.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, you can see that.
One of the things that they said about her, I actually watched this video about the physics of Simone Biles and why she's able to do what she does. Part of it is because she's so short.
Well, she's like, what, four foot five, six?
I don't know exactly how tall she is, but she is very short. You can see when she stands with the other gymnasts, she's noticeably shorter by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so strong, you can see how strong. So the fact that she is so strong, she does these flips in the air where her body is laid out almost flat, which is something that is not seen a lot. Usually see when they do the flips, they tuck and roll.
Right.
But they also said, you know, she tucks her right hand behind her back and that twists her in the air. And it's like just like, how do they figure this stuff out? I don't know.
Well, let alone figuring it out. How does she do it?
I don't know.
That's amazing stuff.
I don't know. But she's amazing and obviously has some natural talent. She was recognized when she was very young.
Mm-hmm.
But, it just makes you feel, gosh, I'm going to sound so cheesy, but it makes you feel proud to be an American.
Well, I just love it when people get to the point where they are performing at the best they can possibly be. It's way cool stuff. I've always been impressed and just excited to see when people get to that point in their life when things are all coming together and they are the best they can possibly be, and their world-class performances just sends a shiver down the back of your spine. It's so cool.
Yeah. We got to go. They're kicking us out of here.
Is that what he's saying?
You know, it's 4:59, and so, you know, I want to say thanks, thank you for letting us do this. Thanks to Todd Manley for letting us do this. Thanks to Brad, our engineer. Thank you, Joey, our wonderful, wonderful producer. Thanks, Roger Baddish.
Yes, thank you.
It was a blast working with you.
Wonderful.
Thanks for joining in on our conversation. And thank you to the listeners. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And we're just so thrilled to be a part of WGN, and we hope to be back soon. It's Leslie and Kent, and it is 5 o'clock. And I lost my little cheat sheet here. I'm going to cry because it's over. So this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It's 5 o'clock. Here's Roger Baddish.